Clase Shrimad Bhagavatam en el templo de Sydney 24-09, canto 3, chapter 26, text 3.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A long purport, so I may come in the middle. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as being without beginning. He is Purusha, the Supreme Spirit. Purusha means person. When we think of a person in our present experience, that person has a beginning. This means that he has taken birth and that there is a history from the beginning of his life. But the Lord is particularly mentioned as Anadi, beginningless. If we examine all persons, we will find that everyone has a beginning. But when we approach a person who has no beginning, he is the Supreme Person. That is the definition given in the Brahma Samhita. Iswara Parama Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, the Supreme Controller. He is without beginning and he is the beginning of everyone. This definition is found in all Vedic literatures. The Lord is described as the soul or spirit. What is the definition of spirit? Spirit is perceivable everywhere. Brahman means great. His greatness is perceived everywhere. And what is that greatness? Consciousness. We have personal experience of consciousness, for it is spread all over the body. In every hair follicle of our body, we can feel consciousness. This is individual consciousness. Similarly, there is super consciousness. The example can be given of a small light and the sunlight. The sunlight is perceived everywhere, even within the room or in the sky, but the small light is experienced within a specific limit. Similarly, our consciousness is perceived within the limit of our particular body, but the super consciousness or the existence of God is perceived everywhere. He is present everywhere by His energy. It is stated in the Vishnu Purana that whatever we find, anywhere and everywhere, is the distribution of the energy of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed that the Lord is all-pervading and exists everywhere by His two kinds of energy, one spiritual and the other material. Both the spiritual and material energies are spread everywhere. And that is the proof of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The existence of consciousness everywhere is not temporary. It is without beginning. And because it is without beginning, it is also without end. The theory that consciousness develops at a certain stage of material combination is not accepted herein. For the consciousness which exists everywhere is said to be without beginning. The materialistic or atheistic theory stating that there is no soul, that there is no God, and that consciousness is the result of a combination of matter is not acceptable. Matter is not beginningless. It has a beginning. As this material body has a beginning, the universal body also does also. As our material body has begun on the basis of our soul, the entire gigantic universal body has begun on the basis of the Supreme Soul. The Vedanta Sutra says, Janmadyasya, this entire material exhibition, its creation, its growth, its maintenance, and its dissolution is an emanation from the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Person. In the Bhagavad Gita also the Lord says, I am the beginning, the source of birth of everything. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. He is not a temporary person, nor does he have a beginning. He is without a cause, and he is the cause of all causes. Para means transcendental, beyond the creative energy. The Lord is the creator of the creative energy. We can see that there is a creative energy in the material world, but he is not under this energy. He is Prakriti Para, beyond this energy. He is not subjected to the threefold miseries created by the material energy because he is beyond it. The modes of material nature do not touch him. It is explained here, Swayam Jyoti, he is light himself. We have experience in the material world of one's light being a reflection of another, of one light being a reflection of another. Just as moonlight is a reflection of the sunlight, sunlight is also the reflection of the Brahma Jyoti. Similarly, Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual effulgence, is a reflection of the body of the Supreme Lord. Moonlight, reflection of sunlight, sunlight, reflection of Brahma Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti, reflection of the body of the Supreme Lord. This is Param. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Yasya Prabha Prabhavata. The Brahma Jyoti or Brahman effulgence is due to his bodily luster. Therefore it is said here, Swayam Jyoti. He himself is light. His light is distributed in different ways as the Brahma Jyoti, as sunlight and as moonlight. Bhagavad Gita confirms that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunlight, moonlight or electricity. The Upanishads also confirm this. Because the bodily luster of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sufficient to illuminate the spiritual world. There is no need of sunlight, moonlight or any other light or electricity. This self-illumination also contradicts the theory that the Supreme Soul, or the Spirit Soul rather, or the spiritual consciousness develops at a certain point in material combination. The term Swayam Jyoti indicates that there is no tinge of anything material or any material reaction. It is confirmed here that the concept of the Lord's all-pervasiveness is due to His illumination everywhere. We have experienced that the sun is situated in one place, but the sunlight is different all around for millions and millions of miles. Is diffused all around for millions and millions of miles. That is our practical experience. Similarly, although the Supreme Light is situated in His personal abode, Vaikuntha or Vrindavan, His light is diffused not only in the spiritual world but beyond that, in the material world also. That light is reflected by the sun globe, and the sunlight is reflected by the moon globe. Thus, although He is situated in His own abode, His light is distributed all over the spiritual and material worlds. The Brahma Samhita 5.37 confirms this. Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuta. He is living Goloka, but still He is present all over the creation. He is the super soul of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He has innumerable transcendental qualities. It is also concluded that although He is undoubtedly a person, He is not a Purusha of this material world. Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand that beyond this material world there can be a person. Therefore they are impersonal. But it is explained that very nicely here that the Personality of Godhead is beyond material existence. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 26th chapter, 3rd verse, in the matter of fundamental principles of material nature, spoken Radha Gopinath Temple, North Sydney, 24th of June 2007, 521 Gaurabda. In the second half of the life of Brahma. Harihi Om Tat Sat. That was a very interesting purport, a lot of information. Lord is without any beginning. His consciousness has expanded in different ways, and how His energies are expanding everything through His energies, the material and spiritual worlds. How this material creation is not an accident, as some modern speculative scientists would have us believe, probably gives some interesting basis for that, that the light is coming from Krishna. He is Swayam Jyoti. The light is disseminating all over the universe, spiritual and material universes, to the Brahma Jyoti, the sunlight, moonlight, electricity. So though he is situated in his own abode, the light is distributed all over the spiritual and material worlds. And at the end he said that how, although it mentions Purusha, maybe some impersonalist will interpret that as some kind of material person. They like to say that Bhagavan is a form of some satya guna, material energy. They don't understand that that the Lord is not satya guna, he is Satchit Ananda. Not only does the Brahma Samhita say Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha, but even the Rig Veda, some people say, wow, Brahma Samhita, that's one of the like Puranas or something. I only accept the Vedas, Upanishads, there are few, there's a Brahma Samaji, a few people like that, they try to avoid any kind of, because the Puranas are so filled with Bhagavan, so personal, we just accept the Vedas. But in the Rig Veda it says, Om Krishna Vai Sachid Ananda Gana Krishna Adi Purusha Krishna Purushottamaha. They also said, Krishna is Satchidananda Gana. He has the quality of Satchidananda. They didn't say Satya Guna, it says Satchidananda Gana. So Prabhupada has given us so much wisdom here. What's really needed is that somehow to disseminate this. Somehow people's knowledge is covered by illusion. So, still so many people are impersonalists. The vast majority. Someone was telling me how they're here in Australia, they're taking a religion course, Indology or something, but then the teacher is also an impersonalist. And if you give, you can't really say that the absolute truth is a person, and the teacher freaks out. Someone also said they're going to some yoga institute in India to get a yoga degree, but then you have to take an exam when you go there. And in the exam, Sudevi Sundar, he said, gone to that, the Sivananda Yoga Institute. And then they asked her the test. They wanted to pass the test, you'd have to say everything is one and this and that. And so she was a little Krishna conscious, saying some Prabhupada's things, so the big red marks just gave her pass, nothing honors or anything, because she didn't say the party line. So maybe in the future we have to have a Vaishnava Yoga Institute so that people can be teachers without having to go through this Mayavadi indoctrination. When Prabhupada wrote that Vyasa Puja to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it was a poem. There was a one verse, how does that go? Mayavad, impersonalism, calamity, you have moved, something, I can't remember, but he very poetically explains how the impersonalism is a calamity, it's causing so much, because people don't have any bliss from the personality of Godhead, impersonalism is very dry. So then material nature looks a little more, you know, a little more attractive. You know, absolute truth anyway, when I end of life I'll merge, you know, but for now let me enjoy. But when they actually have a relationship with the personality of Godhead, then they become detached from so many material attachments, so many material, these things start to balance out a lot. Even if occasionally they're a little involved in sense gratification, they can never forget the nectar of Krishna. So that it doesn't become a big stumbling block for them. So this is the importance that Prabhupada was stressing. So that he needs the devotees to help him propagate the message, to spread the message. Sometimes devotees are inclined to just go to the holy dham and they think, oh, they'll go there and and they'll chant 24 hours. Of course, Prabhupada, once I remember, I think it was Kasalia Devi, she had asked Prabhupada, I just want to chant. I just want to stay in Mayapur, I just want to chant. And Prabhupada said, well, just chant. I mean, it's not a just, of course, chanting is the highest thing. But if you want to chant, then you should chant in this way. You should just eat once a day, sleep less, chant for like 14 hours a day or something, 12 hours, you know. Be chanting your japa, chanting Hare Krishna. But the problem is you'll be chanting and you'll fall asleep. So just chant, you really have to have a taste for chanting. If you don't have a taste for chanting, then it won't be very effective. And then Prabhupada was also encouraging so many times that how by giving people Krishna, one gets freed from the obstacles of spiritual life. In fact, in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it mentions that somebody asked Haridas Thakur, what was the type of chanting was better? The loud chanting or the mental chanting? And then they're saying mental chanting must be better, right? Because it's subtle. It's on a higher, subtle level, where the loud chanting is kind of gross, using the senses and loud. So this is speculation, some people think. But Haridas Thakur said actually that the loud chanting is 100 times more powerful. Because when you chant out loud, audibly, then other living entities, humans, plants, insects, animals, they're also hearing the holy name. And so they're getting spiritual benefit from that. And by you benefiting others, then any kind of previous offense you made, harming people in their spiritual progress in any kind of way, would be eradicated. So therefore the chanting become much more powerful. In fact, the only reason we don't have a taste for chanting is because of some kind of offense. Very, they call iron-clad, steel-clad heart, not allowing the nectar of Krishna's holy name to come through. So, in this way, loud chanting also is like Harinam, instead of Harinam and Paramatma. Someone said there's a little dispute, Prabhupada one time said Paramatma, and sometime he said Paramata, which means when Paramatma, Super Soul, Paramata means transcendental madness. Both aren't too bad. Or it could be supremely mad. Paramata. But and there was one lady who walked out of some shop, and a Chinese lady, and then she covered her ears. Then she opened it after a little bit anyway. She wasn't, but one time there was someone reported to Prabhupada that somebody had covered the ears, they didn't want to hear the Harinam. And the Prabhupada said, oh, you should chant louder. It's having some effect. So Brihat Nidranga also through books, distributing the kirtans different ways, somehow exposing people to this transcendental vibration, the transcendental message. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastimes are still going on. This is his extended Sankirtan Leela. So we need the devotees to help spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to bring people closer. So different directly the direct processes, indirect processes, somehow to get people to take the shelter of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya also faced a lot of obstacles when he was starting the Sankirtan movement. Then there were people who where he was chanting inside of Shiva's garden, in Shiva's Angan. And some people would go outside and listen, what's going on in there? Someone else would be listening, what are they doing? Inside even, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, chanting. And someone said, Hari Bol, Hari Bol! Ha! Just sing. What is that shouting? They must be taking, you know, wine or something. What do you think they're doing? I think they're chanting Hare Krishna. What? Are you one of them? So there are always some kind of envious people who, from a certain movement, sometime initially, will face what are the three steps he said? First there would be curiosity, then there would be some obstacles, and then the end they would be favorable. So we go through the different steps. People don't have very much of an idea about Krishna consciousness. I was reading that some write-up in one of those yoga magazines, how they dealt with Percy Garcia's background in yoga, that he was in the Agoria Vaishnava yoga tradition. I'm just kind of mentioning it in a more neutral way, because somebody said, I mean, it's okay if I chant, it's okay if I meditate and I read your books, I don't have to become a Hare Krishna. So no, you can chant, be vegetarian, worship the deities, you can read the books, you don't have to become a Hare Krishna. There's some idea, you know, like this is all good, but this Hare Krishna is some kind of that's all we do, you know. No, you don't have to become Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and take Krishna prasad. Read the books. You don't have to become a Hare Krishna. Take initiation. I guess they mean, do I have to shave all my hair off? I gotta be a ma, whatever their preconceived notion is. So right now I'm very happy here that Krishna's arrangement. I could have a little more association with everybody. Look forward to being back here again soon. Keep spreading the holy message of the holy name. I gotta end class a little early, so I get to the airport. Got a question?
Much, I just want to thank you very much.
Hare Bol.